If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 204 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We will be doing part two of our prospect risers and fallers here as we enter the month of May. I had to end up cutting the last episode because this would be a pretty long one into two episodes. Go back and check out the pitchers from episode 203. We'll be talking hitters today in episode 204. And with me to discuss them all is my age great co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Not much, but man, minor league ball's been awesome so far, and the pitcher episode was great. Now we get to break down some hitters, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and just a note, we did record this the same night on Sunday night, so some of these stats will be, you know, we're releasing this episode today on Tuesday, so maybe, you know, a day or so outdated with some of these stats, but I just want to put that little caveat in there so you're not like, hey, he actually has this many home runs now, but recorded them the same night, ended up cutting them, though, in the two episodes to keep them both around, I think both should be around 45-ish minutes or so, give or take a few minutes either way. But again, it's going to be a fun episode here today with a lot of hitting risers and fallers here, a lot of names on the rise or on the fall. That doesn't even sound right, but you know what I'm saying. A lot of names rising and falling right now, and so we're going to discuss them all today. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review. Drop that 5-star rating and review. Those mean a lot. Check out my Patreon and Chris's Substack for more work from each of us, including our rankings. You can check out all these names we'll be talking about. You see right where they fall. You got prospect and dynasty rankings over on both of our platforms, plus a lot of other great content, you know, written content, audio content, other fun stuff. So check out both of those platforms. We greatly appreciate the support. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using that promo code TOOLSHED, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. And that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games. Sign up today using that code TOOLSHED at play.underdogfantasy.com/the-toolshed. All right, let's get into this episode here, starting with the hitting risers. Start with the biggest riser, the biggest name on this list, Jackson Holliday. I know, I think we both just put him in our last update up inside the top 10 overall. I know I did. Did you put him in your top 10 as well, Chris?
Number three.
Number three. Oh, there you go. Yep. I put him at number six or seven. Six, I think it was. You know, and I think everyone was kind of guilty to some degree of undervaluing him because we looked at, you know, obviously Drew Jones, super high upside, you know, second generation star. Elijah Green, some of the best raw tools we've seen since, you know, Harper and Trout and back a decade plus ago at this point. But Jackson Holliday was just, he's just so good across the board. And he's probably one of the more advanced 19-year-old bats that we've seen in quite some time. Does not strike out, does not chase that much at all. You know, high walk rate, you know, and pretty solid. Not going to be like a 30-30 guy, but this could be a 20-20 guy and see how much more, you know, bulky adds to the frame. But, you know, hit tool is easily plus, and I think we got at least above average power and speed here. And he's already up to high A now. Maybe he sees double A later in this year. We'll see how aggressive Baltimore wants to be with him. But all the tools are there, and he's just really, really good across the board. So, yeah, he absolutely deserves to be top 10 right now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what he's doing, and he already got the well-deserved promotion, which is great to see. I don't know. Like, I was hesitant. I'm like, all right, like, I won't say he's a pop-up guy senior year, but he certainly rose up his senior year of high school. But he's had no problem hitting since he debuted, and he was absolutely dominant in low A. We've only got a couple games sample in high A so far, but he's still got a 910 OPS, which is wild. And he said, I don't know what the power gets to. I will say there's concerns. He gets the ball on the ground too much. Like, that's a real thing. But he's getting to the power still. When he lifts the ball, I mean, he has 3 home runs so far this year, 4 stolen bases. I think you're right. I don't think he's going to overwhelm you, but I think he's plus hit. I think he's above average to plus power. And I think that he may not be the best runner, but I think he's got a pretty good knack for stolen bases. So I think this is such a high floor type player with upside. It's hard to argue against him. Like, I can argue against Elly De La Cruz. I can argue against these high volatility type players that have hit tool risk. And this just isn't who Jackson Holliday is. The floor here is so high, and you pair it with the upside that we've seen as well, that it's just pretty encouraging overall that I think that this is just going to be a really solid MLB player for a long time. And ultimately, he'll be a really solid fantasy contributor as well.
Yeah, and that Baltimore lineup is going to be really fun. So he's have a good lineup around him, good park to hit in, a lot of good hitters' parks in the AL East in general. So, yeah, I think this is a guy that could be maybe a top 5 shortstop, everything clicks. But, yeah, the upside is definitely there. And even for a 19-year-old, there's a higher floor than with basically every other 19-year-old hitter in the minor leagues right now. So, love that combination of ceiling and floor there. Next name on the list is a name that I'm personally just developing a man crush on. That's Jonathan Clase. Already up to 7 home runs and 15 steals in high A. Everett also slashing .342, .453, .747. You know, the hit tool was kind of, you know, been questioned by a lot of evaluators. Look at all the, you know, sites that post tool grades. And even like, you know, Baseball America, for example, has him as a 30 grade hitter. But I think he's made strides, you know, in terms of making better contact. You know, he's always walked at a pretty decent clip, kept the K rate mostly in check. Yeah, he got a little high last year at times, but even this year, it's still a bit high, but not too bad. It's under 30%, easily a plus runner, probably double plus, and that power is really taking a step forward this year. I know he's in the hitter-friendly league and all, but the power is definitely taking a step forward. He is 9 doubles, a triple, and 7 home runs in 19 games entering Sunday. So if he can, you know, I think this guy could floor it with 20 home runs, maybe even more. Like, he's bulked up. Like, he was listed at, what was he listed at? 5'9", 180. That's not right anymore. He's bulked up a bit. And I was talking with Welsh, Chris Welsh, who said the same thing. Like, he's bigger now for sure. Probably like 5'11", 190 or something like that. I don't know. But he's definitely bulked up already. You see that power starting to come into play more consistently, still running a ton, pretty efficient base dealer as well. 55 out of 65 last year, 15 out of 18 this year. I mean, he's inside top 100 now for me, and he's probably a guy that's going to be in my top 50 very, very soon. I think he already was pushing that in my OBP ranking. So I am all in on Jonathan Clase right now.
Yeah, it's funny. His list height weight on Fangraphs is 5'9", 150. So he's certainly much bigger than that. I'd say he's definitely added a couple inches as well, but there's no way this kid's 150 pounds. Like just looking at him, he's gotten much more bulk. I'm struggling where to project his long-term power though. Like,
yeah.
Is he a 20 home run bat? Is he a 15 home run bat? Is he more than 20 home runs? I don't know. I'm struggling with that a bit. Like, who is he long-term? Is this just a massive hot streak? You know, like, is he doing this damage in hitter-friendly environments? Here's what we know about Jonathan Class A. He's got excellent speed. He's one of the fastest players in the minor leagues. And I do think his hit tool is much better than advertised. Like you said, I think he's better than 30 grade. I think he's better than 40 grade. I think he's probably an average hitter at this point. But you know what's funny? I went back and in episode 12 of the Tool Shed, we talked about our outfielders that could break out in 2021. And Jonathan Class A was one that we listed. Now, obviously, it didn't really come to fruition, but better late than never, right?
I mean, so he wasn't like, let's see, looking back at his stats here, he wasn't, okay, 2021, he actually wasn't that good.
Well, he had 57 plate appearances at the complex level. He was hurt. Right. So
2022, he had 13 home runs, 55 steals. So that kind of worked out a little bit last year, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested. I'm going to pull up the Baseball America Park factors for minor league and see, like, where does he get his home runs? Because I do think that matters. But I will say, like, dude, he's had a couple oppo shots that I've seen. I'm like,
yeah,
all right, like oppo power going over. I don't care how short the fence is. Like, dude, you're doing that, then like, come on, man. Like, for somebody that's supposed to not have any power, if you're hitting oppo shots, like, I'll take it. So, he is in the Northwest League right now, which is High A. Everett is, it's very home run prone, but let's see where else he's played because I'm a bit curious. The tough thing is we have like no exit losses. Like I've tried to fish around and get some. I have nothing on him right now other than what we have. Right. So he has hit 4 home runs this week, and they have been at Colorado, which is Spokane. Okay, Spokane has a really high home run factor too, like a 165. Everett has a 154. Let's see where else he's hit a home run because I'm curious. If he had another 2 home run game, and that was at home. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not willing to write that off completely just because a lot of home runs are hit in Everett and Spokane. But I do think it's worth monitoring, and I think it's worth talking about the fact that, like, I probably wouldn't go crazy here. Like, oh, he's got 7 home runs and 95 plate appearances. Like, he's all of a sudden this 30 home run bat that's going to steal 30 bases. Like, I don't think that's who Jonathan Class A is, but I do think Class A is he has bulked up. He has added power. So, like you said, 13 home runs last year and 499 plate appearances. That's all encouraging, especially considering last year he was in Modesto, which is the worst, probably the worst park for home runs of any park in the minor leagues. At a 52 park factor for home runs on 100 scale. Like, that's got to be the lowest of any on here. So I think you got to meet in the middle here and say, like, all right, I think Class A is probably like a 15 to 20 home run bat that can steal you 30 bases with a respectable average. And I think that's a player worth buying into, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, some of this can go into the park factors, but I think you can't completely write it off. Like, he's definitely added power, like hitting opposite field shots, like you mentioned. Like, the power has definitely ticked up. So, yeah, definitely on the rise for me, and especially in OBP leagues, average hit for solid average, post a good OBP as well. Yeah, I'm definitely, like I said, every year there's like these the big, you know, at least one big breakout hitting prospect from Seattle, and you know, Class A looks like to be the leader in the clubhouse for that title this year, for sure. A couple of others could be in that discussion as well. Now, next couple are a little more advanced. Ronnie Mauricio, Heston Kjerstad. You know, Mauricio, we talked about a bit, and Kjerstad too, but they just keep hitting. And I think both of them still feel, Chris, a bit underrated. I know we don't need to go super deep into them. We've talked about them kind of recently on various episodes, but I think they're both should be pushing top 50 overall right now, maybe even inside of it. I think I both had them right around 50, give or take. a handful of spots in my latest update, and probably will keep pushing them higher. And maybe they're in the 30 to 40 range by my next update. You look at Kjerstad, 284, 392, 612 slash line, 6 home runs, 3 steals. You know, he's kept the K rate in check. That was a little bit of the issue I had with him, you know, back when he was drafted, a little bit too much swing and miss, but he's really made some advances there at the plate in terms of being a pure hitter and to go along with that big time power that he has. So this is like a 30 homer bat, can steal you 5 to 10 bags a year or something like that. Well, hitting, you know, maybe 260 with a pretty solid OBP as well. And then Mauricio just keeps, you know, he's still aggressive. I don't think he'll ever not be aggressive, but he just continues to have a huge power speed blend this year. He's now up to, well, let's see, where's he up to now? 6 home runs and 4 steals in 26 games, 327, 370, 604 slash one. So, yeah, I feel these guys are still undervalued right now.
Yeah, I moved Mauricio in like 38th overall.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Yeah. So I was the biggest Ronnie Mauricio hater when he was popular. And then the spring I got back in. So, okay, like I think this is it. Like the numbers tell me like this is a guy that's going to really pop off this year. So, yes, he is still aggressive. Like we can say that with 100% certainty. He's free swinging. He still chases a lot. But the zone contact has always been really good. Like that was the sneaky thing about him last year. When I saw the data on him, I was like, all right, this guy's got a almost 108 mile an hour, 90th percentile exit velocity, which is like elite in the major leagues. And he made like 82% zone contact. Like his overall zone contact was good. The overall contact wasn't because he chased a lot. I will say he's still chasing a lot this year. I still have the hesitancy because he has a 40% chase rate. Again, like he had that last year. He's still at 40%. But he's up the zone contact even more. He has a zone contact rate of 86% right now, and he's pairing that with high-end exit velocities. The 90th percentile exit velocity right now is 109.5. He's topped out at 113.8. His barrel rate is extremely high. He's hitting the ball consistently hard. Like, Ronnie Mauricio is a dude, and
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I felt like he was going to be a trade chip for the Mets, but I will say when they began to play him at second base, I'm like, all right, this tells me that they see him as part of their future. They're getting him some run in other positions now. He's playing second base pretty much exclusively in AAA, which is telling me like they want him up sooner than later, but they've got to get his glove ready because they have Lindor locked up, and Brett Beatty's their third baseman. So where's Mauricio going to play? Looks like second base to me. That means what's the case with Mark Vientos? I think Mark Vientos is a trade candidate. I think that we'll see Vientos dealt for pitching because while it appeared on paper that the Mets would have elite rotation, there was a ton of injury risk there, and we've already seen that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Vientos is the one that's traded. I think that Mauricio is going to be the one that sticks. I think Mauricio is going to officially move to second base. We've kind of already seen that and confirmed that. And like you said, the power, the speed, yeah, there's some volatility. But shoot, I'll take what he's doing this year and what he did last year. He was 26 home runs, 20 stolen bases last year. Hits the ball hard. I'll take some chase when he hits the ball as hard as he does, and he also brings the speed element to the table. Mauricio is certainly interesting. Talk a little Kjerstad because, you know, there's been so much happen with Heston Kjerstad. I mean, he got drafted second overall in 2020. He has myocarditis. He is not really the same. He doesn't play. He comes back in 2021 and obviously can't play the heart condition. Finally, looks like in 2022, we're going to get full run from him. He gets hurt in the spring, and so we only get a small sample of him, not even 300 plate appearances, not even half the season in 2022. He goes to the fall league. He dominates, and he just looks the part. Like, you look at Heston Kerstad and you see a ball player. And I think that we're finally seeing the breakout that we thought could happen. Yeah, I think he was overdrafted at second overall. Absolutely. But the Orioles have been excellent scouters and developers. And I think that we're going to see Heston Kerstad in Baltimore fairly soon. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets called up to AAA soon, has a short stint, it's in the majors by July, because what he's doing is pretty special. The power's there. He's an elite OBP asset. I love this profile. I'll put him top 50, and you said you had him right around there, which I agree. So I'm in on that.
Yeah, I definitely have him pushing top 50, and maybe he's a guy that doesn't hit for a super high average. Maybe he's more like a 250, 260 guy, but I think you won't ever crater two loads because, you know, we've seen these guys that have, you know, good power and speed blends run a higher BABIP than usual, so I think he's still going to hit around 250, 260, even if he does continue to be super aggressive and chasing a ton. But yeah, he's a guy that could be 25-plus home runs, 20-plus steals, just continuing to do what he's done the last couple of years. And you get that from second base. Absolutely. You get that anywhere. You're happy with it. But especially at second base, like that position needs a little boost right now. And maybe Mauricio can do that later this year or even into 2024. The next name here, Brady House, a guy that was obviously had a lot of skill, a lot of upside when he was drafted back in 2021. And a pretty good debut as well. Hit .322, four home runs, 16 games in the complex level back in 2021. Then the last year had you know, various injuries, limited to just 202 plate appearances in the low A Carolina League. You know, didn't walk a lot, you know, struck out. It wasn't a super high K rate, but I think was pushing 30%. Hit .278 with a .356 OBP. So I think maybe he was dropped down rankings too much, and I'm even guilty of that myself. I'll fully admit it. But I think the real big thing was like, you only hit three home runs last year. So people are kind of questioning, where's that power for a guy that was thought of as more of a power bat over, you know, over a contact bat when he was drafted. But this year he's back to hitting for power, hitting for average. The approach is better than it's ever been. Last year he had 12 walks in 45 games. This year, 10 and 13 games, only 12 Ks, hitting .354, .466, .646 with 7 extra base hits, 3 home runs out of the steal as well. Now, outside of he's never going to be a guy that gives you much speed at all, probably only a couple here and there, I think this is a guy that could be above average hit with plus power or something like, and maybe he gets up into like that Josh Young, you know, Brett Beatty range where he's kind of that valuable moving forward. So I feel like the price tag is still pretty reasonable right now. I think people are still looking at last year too much. Haven't really caught on to how good he's been this year in low A. So I think he's a great target right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by this at all. I mean, you look at the profile, and this is one that injuries certainly affected. And like you said, the domination at low A's, whatever, and you can probably poke some holes in that, like a 20-year-old Brady House at low A, like, but again, like, we're talking somebody that was injured. You look at what he did the first month of 2022. All right, so he was drafted in 21. He was really good at the complex. He hit for average. He hit for power. It's exactly what I want to see. Like, everybody built him as a power guy, but he was not really built as much as an average guy, which that's fine. Like, I see that. But what he did was impressive. And then last year in April, he was really, really good. And ultimately, in doing so, like, you get lost in the numbers and forget that he hit .341 in April last year before he got hurt. Like, he hurt his back. He was just never the same. And this year, what has he done? Brady House has come back really, really strong. Hitting .354 right now. Like I said, he's too advanced for this level. He's striking out 20% of the time. He's walking 17% of the time. Now, I wouldn't expect him to be a super high average guy ultimately, but I do think that we're looking at a respectable hitter here. Like, I think Brady House is going to be somebody that can hit .270 with a really good OBP as well. And the power is pretty tremendous here. He's hit several oppo shots this year, off the bat. You've seen it. And again, like, he's another one that's bumped back towards my top 52. And I just really think Brady House is a dude. I think that he can continue to soar up. I consider him one of the best players in that FYPD class, in his draft class. And I think he's finally got over the injury hump, and he's just going to show out and be that really good player that we think he can be.
Yeah, no, I'm totally there with you. He's back inside my top 100, and I think I have him like in the 75-ish range now. And yeah, he's definitely, every time I look at it this year, like, you know, every few days, he just keeps moving up another 10 spots. So I think he definitely can get, maybe even get up to top 25 territory by the end of the season for sure. I think he's that good of a hitter. Two more names here that are, you know, a little bit further down. And this first name here, I had seen him pop up in my daily, prospect stats thing. Looked at some video of him earlier this year as well, but I didn't realize like how good the numbers were this year until I kind of like, you know, looked at it from a season long perspective in terms of stats. And Sterling Thompson is absolutely dominating right now. Yeah, he's an advanced college bat, 22 years old in high A. He's in Spokane. I know we mentioned that earlier, but he's hitting 460, 514, 730 in 74 plate appearances with 8 doubles, 3 home runs, 5 steals, and more walks than strikeouts, 7-6. You know, he's a guy that, again, doesn't have like that one huge, like, you know, huge power, huge speed, anything like that. But this is a guy that, you know, can run a bit. I think he's got, could give you double digit steals. Long term, maybe 20 plus home runs, and you know, pretty solid average and good OBP as well. He's always been an elite, kind of elite OBP guy. Had a 424 OBP at Florida, over 500 plate appearances there, and so far pushing 200 plate appearances in the minor leagues, 416 OBP. So, I think this is a really good all around prospect, and he's going to have, you know, Coors Field to call home. So you could get even, you know, more average and more OBP, or excuse me, more power from the nature of that ballpark and the factors there. So I think he's a pretty good target right now. And I just don't know where he ends up. You know, he's played some outfield, some second, some third this year. Actually, he hasn't played any second base this year or even in the minor leagues, been third in outfield. He kind of split his time between those two spots. So see where he ends up long term. But I like the all-around profile a good bit.
Yeah, and the Rockies probably don't know what they're doing either. I mean, if we're being honest.
It's true.
It's pretty baffling the way they handle prospects. But in the end, talent tends to win out. And, you know, you look at this profile with Sterling Thompson, and you got to be a bit enamored by what he's done so far. And honestly, what he did last year, too, after being drafted, like he had a really solid showing in low A. And then he was sent straight to high A, which is not surprising. Like, we're talking a college guy. So, you know, it's not a surprise that he got that bump. And he's just done nothing but prove that he's capable. Like you said, what position does he go to? I don't really know. You go back and look at his days at Florida. He played at right field. He played second base. He's played third base in the minors. Like, who even knows? That's the interesting thing. Look at the body. He's certainly not a second base body, in my opinion. 6'4", 200 pounds. I don't see a second baseman there. Could we see him at third? Absolutely. He split pretty even time this year between third and right field. He's actually been a bit better at third base. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he's one of these guys that does play a bit of both and has that eligibility in two places, which is fine. Like, that doesn't worry me that much overall. Like I said, the bat just been so good. I think the bat's going to play. The bat played extremely well at Florida. He was a dominant hitter there, which is encouraging. Even dating back to, you know, his first year in 2021, you know, he hit 301 with a 396 OBP then. Just 5 home runs. We saw the power tick up even more in 2022, in which he hit 354 with a 443 OBP with 11 home runs. He's not a zero in the stolen base department either, which I like. He can tack on a few steals here and there. He's already got 5 this year, which is encouraging. He's walked more than he struck out, which is awesome. Like, that's pretty impressive to see him. You know, he's walked 7 times, struck out 6 times. Like, that's good for an 8.1% strikeout rate. Like, that's pretty insane to me. He's got a 730 slug to go with it. I think you can't ignore Sterling Thompson. I put him right outside my top 100. I think he's getting really close to being there.
Yeah, I have him in that same range. If it, you know, next time I do, so my next update will be my average rankings probably in week and a half or so. If, you know, unless he goes into a massive funk over the next like week and a half, 2 weeks or so, he's going to be inside my top 100. I don't know if I see him rising to like top 50 levels. Maybe he can make it back a top 50 guy, just given the all rounds profile. And I think definitely he could be top 50 in OBP. I think he's got a touch more value in OBP, but, you know, obviously the average would be pretty solid as well. So pretty, you know, he's rising up both sets of rankings here. So definitely a great name. And I think one that's just, you know, you can still get for a pretty reasonable price. Like, I don't think the perceived value is caught up. I think there's a great buying opportunity here right now. So I would be pouncing all over that. Last name on the list here for hitting risers. You know, there's actually a few in the Houston system. Before I could have mentioned Ryan Clifford maybe as well, or Kennedy Corona. But I think we have the one we settled on here for this episode. We might have the they're all pretty solid names.
Yeah.
But I love saying this last name. It's just a really fun last name. Joey Lope. Is it? I don't know if it's Loper Fido or Loper Fido. I don't know if it's a, you know, a hard O or a soft O. But regardless, he has just been like, even last year, I feel like people were sleeping on him a little bit too much last year. I mean, he falls into the, you know, this, we talk about these types of players a lot this year. People just undervalue guys that are a little bit older for the level. So last year he was 23 years old, played at low A Carolina Lake, high A Sally. But the numbers are really good last year. 316, 408, 492 slash line, 25 doubles, 12 home runs, 32 steals in 108 games there. Had a walk rate above 10%. 11.5% to be exact, and kept the K rate in check at right around 22%. This year has been even better. He's been one of the better hitters in the minor leagues this year. 78 plate appearances between high A and double A. 349, 423, 697 slash line, 11 total extra base hits in 16 games, 5 home runs, 6 steals, 10 walks to 14 Ks. I mean, yeah, he's 24. Whatever. Like, people got to stop like kind of overvaluing the age. Like look at the actual player, and this guy's got, you know, solid power, good speed. He's shown a pretty solid hit tool as well. He's a 294 career hitter in minor leagues over 143 games, the OBP pushing 400. This is a very good guy. And we've seen Houston is one of the better player development systems in all baseball on both sides of the ball. Even that's why Drew Gilbert, another one we could have put in this list as well. A lot of Houston risers right now, but Upper Fido is probably the one that has the lowest price tag right now and very affordable get. I'm all in, right? I'm not all in, but I'm very much in.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with the age to level thing. I think we put a little too much stock into that. I think we have to take every player on a case-by-case basis.
Exactly, yep.
Like, is he at an appropriate place considering when he was drafted? And with Joey Loper Fido, I 100% think so. He's 24.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He literally is turning 24 and he's still 23, but he'll turn 24 in May. But he was drafted in 2021. He went straight to low A. He was not great, so he went back to low A last year. Spent early part of the year there and was good, so he got bumped to high A. He started out this year in high A. I saw him live. Like, I'd love to talk Clifford too. Like, Clifford's awesome. Jacob Melton, like, I think he's,
yep, Melton too. Yeah,
right. See, underrated.
So many Houston names right now we could have put on this list.
Yeah, and Drew Gilbert's the one everybody talks about, but I don't think it's crazy to think that Joey Loper Fido is close to that range. Like, I bumped him to like 150 overall. Like, I felt pretty good about what I saw. Like, a really good frame, a really good swing, a really good feel for contact, really good power too. Like, the bat just jumps off the ball, and the promotion hasn't really stopped him at all. Like, he's been better since he jumped to double A, which is highly encouraging to me. And I don't know, like you said, I think this is a dude we underrated last year, and in doing so, like, we just kind of are discounting this too, but I'm not. Like, I think that he's legit. Everything I saw when I saw him, like, all right, this guy is legit. The only concern is the ground ball rate. It's a little high, but I will say I think that maybe it's a small sample noise because he was much lower last year. He was 47.5% in low A and 41% in high A. This year we've seen 57 and 51% ground ball rates from both levels. So yeah, I can see being concerned about that, but ultimately I think this is a guy that just hits. Like, he's probably a guy that will continue to fly under the radar. Like, he's probably never a super flashy prospect, but I do think he's pretty intriguing and pretty underrated for sure.
All right, over to the fallers now. Got four names on the list here, starting with a guy that I was very high on and never really, obviously, not saying he can't pan out, but the one thing, talking about Robert Hassel III, the one thing that we kind of questioned with him was, all right, where does the power get to? How much power can he develop? We always thought it was kind of there, like the bat speed was there, and the bat path was there. I thought he could bulk up a bit. Hasn't really bulked up, you know, from what I've seen, doesn't really look like he's bulked up much at all. And this year, basically ever since he was traded from San Diego to the Nationals as part of the Juan Soto return, this hasn't been good. Again, it was only 10 games last year, 13 this year. I mean, I get it. But to start, that was 10 games in high A, 27 in double A. So 37 total, 13 this year. Talking about 50 games. Right around, you know, let's quick math, 230 or so plate appearances. This hasn't been good at all. It, once you get to double A, 222, 312, 296, one home run and 122 plate appearances last year in the Nat system. This year, he's dealing with a little bit of an injury, and he's kind of been back down in low A right now, and he's just not doing good down there either. He's walking a ton. Like, the approach is still very good. Like, he doesn't strike out a lot, walks a ton, 16 walks to 9 Ks. Still has a 375 OBP this year, but 167 average, 229 slug. He has yet to go yard yet this year. Actually, no, I think, did he hit his first home run today, actually? He might have. Let me look. Actually, I think I saw that earlier. I was looking at. He actually did. He hit his first home run of the year. So slash run now is up to 192, 382, 308. But he's still only 21. He's still a back end top 100 guy for me. But if that power just doesn't develop past, like, I don't know, 10, 12 home runs, I don't know. I don't know how impactful he can be. So he's slowly trickling down my rankings, at least.
Yeah, he fell almost out of the top 100, back in for me too. At what point is it just like, all right, like, this is who he is? Right. Like, he was really good before the trade. The odd thing is, like, so he was in high A. He was traded, and they put him in double A. He's back in low A. Like, I don't know. That's a bit concerning to me, like, seeing that. And I don't know. Like, even who is he? What's the hit tool like? The hit tool's still there. Like, he's not striking out a lot. Like, that's encouraging. Because he did strike out a lot in double A when he first moved there to Washington. But, man, I'm just really torn on what I think about him because when we talked to him, like, in the interview, he was just like, I picked up on a guy that was like a gamer that was going to do whatever it took. And I still believe that about him. Like, I don't think that's changed. But, you know, maybe something's happened. Like, something's going on here, in my opinion. He's hitting the ball on the ground at a 70% rate right now. Like, of course you're not going to make anything happen when that's the case. But even last year, after he was traded, the ground ball rate was 48%, which is actually when the lower stop of any stop of his career, and the production still wasn't there. Like, his ISO, the highest ISO he's had was before the trade in high A last year, and it was 168. The ISO in double A last year, 0.074, and right now 0.063. I think that Robert Hassel is in his own head. Like, that's what I'm, like, looking at the situation, like, I think he's just a head case right now. And he's just seeing the effects of that. And maybe I'm wrong here. I still believe that he's a good hitter. And I still believe that he can bounce back. But maybe I'm not buying the power as much. Maybe I'm selling and thinking he's more of a 10 home run bat. Is there value in that if he hits 300? Absolutely. But who's to say that he does hit 300? And that's my concern here. It's like, you know, who does he end up becoming? Like, who does he actually project to be? And that's, I just don't know. And that leads me to just have some more raising concerns. I think this, and people have asked, like, should I sell him? And honestly, like, I think the sell window's gone. Like,
it is, yeah.
It's long gone. Like, I don't think you're going to, I think if you sell him, like, I think you're going to get way less than a top 100 prospect. I really do. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, it's not a good time to sell it. Now, if you have him, you got to hold, or depending on how many prospects, if it's a shallower prospect pool, you know, you roster like 50 prospects, how you can drop them there. But in that, every other league, like, you're holding for now, right? Because I still think there's a solid hitter here. Like, I agree there. You know, I think there's at least 270 bat here with, you know, again, it's, and where's even the speed at? Because that's kind of like everyone talks about, and we've been talking about the power too, but something, you know, I was looking into as well is like, he hasn't run a ton since he got double A. He's been up at double A for 27 games, and obviously he's back down in single A, but he only attempted one steal in those 27 games. And yeah, it doesn't help that you got a lower OBP, but the OBP was still 312. Wasn't like he was crazy low. So he hasn't, and this year he's got two steals and just two attempts through 13, you know, 14 games now. So he's just not running, even getting on base at a near 400 clip this year. So I don't know. It's just such a weird profile. It's like, where's the speed? Obviously, I think we're both in agreement that I think the average will bounce back and the OBP should be pretty good as well. But like, where's the power speed at? Is he going to be a 20 steal guy? It's kind of what I thought in the low minors was, you know, a lot of his higher, you know, 30 plus stolen base totals from 2021, just due to the level he was at the time. I don't know. Like, where's the speed at too? I think that's another question. Like, he's a quick guy, at least above average runner, but you know, that doesn't always translate. So I think there's, you know, some questions about where's the stolen base total end up at as well.
Well, let me poise this question. Do you think he's not stealing because he's concerned like about his injuries? He broke his hamate in the fall league last year, and then he had a wrist issue in spring training pretty early. So I almost wonder if like he just has a lot of hesitancy right now, and it's costing him a bit. So like, I know technically he's on, like, I know people probably ask questions. Like, I know he's on rehab. That's why he's in low A. But like, we're talking a pretty large rehab sample at this point, which is a concern in my opinion. Like at this point, like we've seen a pretty large sample and it hasn't gotten better. And now maybe the wrist is still bothering him. I don't know. They said it was unrelated to the hamate issue, but part of me wonders if he's just not stealing bases because he's concerned he's going to re-aggravate his hand. That's at least worth looking into.
It could be, yeah. And we've seen not only does, you know, could affect base running because obviously you dive headfirst into a bag, there's always that risk of re-injuries. I'm sure that's in his mind, at least to some degree. And also we've seen how those hand and wrist injuries can really, you know, zap someone's power as well. So, you know, how does that affect him long-term? There's so many questions here right now. Like I said, I think we both still think he can be a solid player, but like, where's the overall value at? How high does the power and speed get to? Do those categories bounce back later in the year as he gets further away from the hand injury? We'll see. But yeah, there's just so many questions with Hassel right now. So he's gonna be one that I'm really gonna keep an eye on, you know, this year closer to see, you know, how he's progressing. Obviously he'll get bumped back up soon, you know, to high A and then to double A at some point. And I might even get some live looks at him later this year as well, because double A Harrisburg's in the same league as the Portland Sea Dogs, my home team up here in Maine. So I'll probably get to see him, you know, June, July or something like that. I'll have to look at the schedule, but definitely a name I'm going to be keeping a pretty close eye to see like how he bounces back as we progress throughout the year. Another name that's, you know, hasn't played at all yet this year due to was it a fracture? What exactly did they call it? There we go, a stress fracture in his lower back. Marco Luciano, he's a guy that I was even fading, you know, in 2022, a little bit in 2021, more so last year, because he just doesn't run anymore, like at all. I thought he'd be like maybe a 10 steal guy when, you know, lower minors, but he just hasn't run. He's attempted, let's see, 2022, he didn't even attempt to steal in 65 games. So I don't know if he provides any speed at all. I mean, I think there's a decent bat there. I think he could be like 260, 20 to 25 home runs. I don't think he's bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like he just gets valued so highly and without any speed. Like, you really need the bat to stand out to kind of be valued and ranked where some people have him. And I just don't see it. I think he's more of a, again, back end top 100 guy at this point. And, you know, and with who knows, like this stress fracture in his lower back, like the back is obviously so important to every aspect of baseball, especially hitting with the torque you put on the back. So I don't know. I'm definitely concerned to see, you know, how he kind of, how he returns from this.
Yeah. I think naturally you have to, you know, drop him some, and I was too high preseason and I corrected that. He's like a back end top 100 guy, but who knows, like, could he fall off even more? Yeah, maybe. There's concerning aspects beyond his performance, man. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe he didn't want to be in the AFL. We saw him in the AFL a couple years ago. Like, I saw a player that just didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, he would hit lazy fly balls and just jog, like, zero effort, like, not running out ground balls. Like, I hate to say that about a player, but, man, it's hard to ignore that when you see it and then the performance isn't good either. It's like, okay, like, so if this guy's not performing good, is he just going to just loaf around and not be useful? And I really have that concern. Man, what is Luciano long-term? He may be a 40 hitter. I don't think he's going to hit for good average.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, he was
maybe fringe average, maybe 45. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he turned 21 at the end of last season. So he was 20 most of the highest season, and he hit 263. So, I don't know. I mean, like, that's fine. It's not great, but I don't see him more than a 250 hitter. Like, I think he's going to get exploited against better pitching as he moves up. Honestly, high pitching just wasn't good last year. We know he's got power. I think we can both agree that he's easy plus power.
Oh, for sure.
But he's got to make contact. And he doesn't do that as consistently as you'd like. And there's just aspects of the game that's concerned me. And you're right. The back injury, that's a major concern for me. And that made me drop him even more because, like, could that affect the power? Yeah, absolutely. It could take him a while to fully recover from that. So I'm afraid the sell window's gone here as well. I just don't know. Like, I almost think you have to hold him if you have him. I think you got to hold Hassel and Luciano, unless it's just a really shallow league where not a lot of prospects are rostered, because I just don't think you're going to get the return that you want. And I'm not really looking to sell him for somebody unless, like, it's actual fair return value.
Who would you rather buy low on? Or not? You have to buy low on one of these two, Hassel or Luciano. Let's say, you know, I think we both have them fairly close in rankings. Let's say the offer is the same, value is the same for both of them. Who would you rather buy low on?
I guess Hassel, because I feel like Hassel just has a better chance to make it to the big leagues. He's better in the field. He's got a more consistent hit tool. So I'd lean that way just because I'm more confident that he at least makes it as a major leaguer. And I just can't say I'm confident that Luciano makes it. Like, there could be, he could flame out. That's a real possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. I go Hassel here because the only offensive tool that you can say is in Luciano's favor when comparing these two is the power, and that's easily to him. But even with us questioning, you know, where does the speed get to with Hassel, he's going to provide more speed than Luciano, and he's a better pure hitter. So yeah, I would more so rather buying on Robert Hassel. And another name I want to sneak on the list here, we kind of, you know, a lot of these things we talked about with Luciano, kind of even more so a problem with this next guy, Aurelvis Martinez. Why does anybody still like Aurelvis Martinez, Chris? Can you answer me that question? Like, I still see some hype for him on Twitter, but, like, the dude is not a good hitter. Like, 30 grade hitter might be even
generous. Too,
yeah, generous. Like, power's there. Like, I've seen him take batting practice on more than one occasion. The dude hits tanks, but it's pull side. It's a very flawed profile. He pulls way too much, and people know that. They work him with soft stuff down the way, and he just can't hit it. I mean, he can mash fastballs sometimes, but he's hitting under 100 this year. I don't know. He's not even in my top 250 anymore. He's closer to 300 now, and I probably should have dropped him even more. Like, I don't think he ever makes it as a, maybe he gets to the major leagues, but I don't think he ever actually is like a full-time starter anywhere, even on like Pittsburgh or okay, that's a bad example as they're a first place team right now, oddly enough. But I don't know, even throw him on any like just bad insert bad team here, Oakland. I just don't think he's a starter anywhere. So I want nothing to do with Aroldis Martinez at all.
Eric, can you guess Aroldis Martinez WRC plus right now?
Okay. It's bad. Let's go. Oh, I don't even know. 12?
It's 12 on the number. Did you look?
Dude.
It's 12.
That's terrible. I mean, it's great. The great that I hit it on the head, but man, that's terrible. Like, it's funny. You know, sometimes I probably meet up with Jeff Ponce from Baseball America, you know, one of the, you know, most respected prospect minds out there, you know, a handful of times. He lives in Massachusetts. So, you know, we're a couple hours away. We usually New Hampshire's the one we meet up at the most. And it was funny. We were watching a game last year up there, and it's like, we were just joking, like, you know, the three true outcome guy, that's not even a Aroldis, it's two true outcomes. Like, all right, he's either hit a tank or he's a strikeout. It's just, and you know, obviously more often than not ends with a strikeout. So,
yeah, I'll share this. This is from a scout that I talked to that saw him earlier this year. For the first text me, Aroldis Martinez is very bad. And I said, thank you. I've been saying this for a year and always get crapped on for this take. So thanks for confirming. And he said, him hitting 30 home runs is shocking. He can't hit at all, considering he did it last year. He said, no chance this power ever actually materializes because it's hit tool. Also, a horrendous defender, which matters when you can't hit.
Yep.
And I said he may hit a 180 against major league pitching. He said 180 might be generous.
Yeah, because since he hit the double A, so rookie ball, he hit 275 back in 2019. All right, it's rookie ball. 2021, between low A and high A, hit 261, but 279 in low A, 214 in high A. And then 2022, double A, 203. This year, 089. I mean, he hasn't been striking out like terrible amount, but just he just puts the ball. He's so aggressive that when he, you know, does put the ball in play, sometimes because of his aggressiveness, it's weak contact and he just hits it hard into the ground right at the shortstop or something like that. Like, this is not a good hitter at all. Doesn't walk a ton. I mean, the walk rate, it's not terrible walk rate, but I don't see him ever making it. And yeah, some people I saw is like, oh, he's still young. I'm like, yeah, okay. He's still young, but people use that as like, it's on both ends, if they're young for the level or old for the level, as, you know, excuses as to why they should bounce back or why you shouldn't target them because they're too old. Like, we said this before on this podcast several times, like, the baseball development is never linear. Look at it, you know, just because one prospect's 24 in double A or 23 in high A or whatever, Michael Busch, who I think is 26 now, like, there's, you know, not all 25-year-olds are the same. Look at James Outman. Look at what he's doing this year. No, he is in a little bit of a funk right now, but we've seen so many of these guys that have been kind of written off for being a bit older. I mean, again, they can only hit where they're at. Like, they can't determine what level they get put at by their organization. And again, some of these guys are collegiate guys that maybe were drafted in 2019, missed 2020, like all these factors that go into it. So just look at the talent and don't just be like, oh, they're 25, whatever. But, you know, same with Aroldis. Yeah, he's only 21. Don't just assume he's going to bounce back because he's 21. And yeah, he's still young. And 21 is maybe even a little bit young for double A. But just don't assume he's going to bounce back because of that. Like, look at the profile. It's not a good profile. Outside of raw power, and the raw power, it's a raw power over game power profile right now. There's a definite distinction there. And the hit tool, again, is probably 20 grade, like 30 grade at best. And that's not a profile that ever probably is going to make it as a full-time regular. So, yeah, I've been out for a while, and I don't even know why he's in my 500 anymore. I mean, he'll probably hang around my 500 for a bit, but unless he starts hitting better, he's going to be out of my 500 by end of the year, which is kind of funny to think about how hyped he was a couple years ago. But yeah, I'm fully out, like fully 2 feet. If I had a third foot, that foot would be out too. I'm fully out on Aroldis Martinez.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, Cole, what are we? I got on the rant here. How many more names do we have on the list?
Two more.
All right. Brennan Davis. Speaking of back issues, Brennan Davis has been a guy that kind of similar to Aroldis, similar to Luciano, as he kind of went up the ladder here, he's just not been as good. And he's had back issues. And I think there was another issue. I can't remember what the other injury was. Maybe it was a shoulder or a knee. I can't remember. but he's been limited over the last couple of years. Last year, limited to only 214 plate appearances. And this year, he just hasn't been the same since all those injuries. 82 plate appearances this year, 221, 342, 324 slash line. You know, only two home runs and a double in those 19 games. Not necessarily striking out a ton. Like, the approach isn't terrible, but, you know, the contact skills just aren't that good right now. The power, you know, he had a decent power speed profile. You know, he's still running. He's got four steals this year, but, you know, where's the power at? It just, a lot of question marks, a lot of red flags here. He's still only 23 in AAA, so I'm not like fully out on Brennan Davis, but he's one that I've been kind of lower on the most over the last handful of years. And I think I wrote an article. I don't even remember. Maybe it was for Fantrax or maybe Fantasy Pros. I don't even remember at this point. It was about a year and a half ago. And this, he was one of my prospects to sell. And I'm obviously right now, it's not a good time to sell because he's kind of obviously the value's kind of cratering right now. But if he can bounce back to a degree, have a hot stretch, maybe you sell him then. But I'm just not that much of a believer in him anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting because he had the back issue. He got back healthy. And honestly, like, he started out pretty solid in the AFL. Like, it's in the AFL, he was good. And then he got injured again. Like, is this back going to just cost him, like, his career? And I'm not using that as an excuse for Davis's performance, but I think it's a real factor in how we value him because there are serious issues here with his injuries. I mean, he was playing really well. He had back surgery, and he shut down the AFL because his back acting up again. Like, it's just not good. Like, back surgery is never ideal, and we've seen it. And I don't know. I wonder if that's just completely derailed him because we were looking at a prospect who showed flashes of being elite in 2021. I mean, yeah, there were some hit tool concerns, but dude, the tools were kind of off the charts here. And then we saw plus power and speed. There was some strikeout concerns, but I mean, we are talking about a player that absolutely mashed in 2021 and then injuries got the best of him and he really hasn't been the same since. And is this a new normal for Brennan Davis? I have my concerns it is.
Yeah, he hasn't been good in a bit now and just concerned about the injuries. There's a lot of red flags. I think those red flags outweigh the positives in the profile at this point. And so, yeah, I'm definitely not – I don't think I have any shares of him anyway. But, you know, maybe you can still get a decent enough return for him. I don't know. I guess you can try, see what you get. But if I didn't have him, I would not be looking to acquire him. That is for damn sure. All right, last name on the list. And I didn't even until recently, like I was looking at this guy a couple of days ago, that he was doing as bad as he was this year. And this name I've liked a lot the last couple of years. And he's a guy that just turned 20 a few days ago, actually on the 26th of April, Jose Salas from the Miami Marlins here. Excuse me, Minnesota Twins. I forgot he got traded up there. Yeah. So I still think of him as Miami for some reason, but Minnesota and 135, 224, 135 slash line. So that means zero extra base hits if the slug is the same as the average, of course. And five walks to 15 Ks and 58 plate appearances. He's got six steals. He's still been running, and that's kind of been a constant in his career. 33 steals last year in 109 games. But even last year, the bat was – it was okay. 250 average, 384 slug, nine home runs, and 474 plate appearances. So bat was okay last year. And I think maybe we had – too enamored with this projection of Salas and the speed that he showed. It was a solid enough approach as well, but the bat has just taken a downswing in a huge way this year. So yeah, he's another one that I'm not really looking to acquire right now at all.
Yeah. I almost kind of want to jump ship if I can. I have my concerns about what he's doing because like you mentioned, he was pretty subpar after he went to high last year. And honestly, like, was he that great in low A? Like, the speed was there.
Not really. He was okay.
I mean, he was okay. Like, but he really wasn't ever that great. And it seems like we bought into the hype a bit. And you know, I don't know. I've seen plus hit grades. I don't see that at all. And certainly hadn't showed that this year. at all. But I mean, even the contact rates last year don't really warrant him potentially being a plus hitter. I mean, they were fine. I think they were average. He chased at a fairly high rate, chased at a 32% rate. Not like alarming, but you know, he had a 76% contact rate. It's fine. Like maybe for the level, but he also didn't hit the ball hard. I mean, we're talking a 26% hard hit rate last year. And yeah, he's young, just turned 20, but I'm not seeing a super fantasy friendly profile, in my opinion. Like, yeah, the speed's nice, but overall, I just really don't see him being like a stud.
Yeah, I just don't see the bat ever getting to that level. Excuse me. Yeah, I just speed could be, you know, 20 plus steals, sure. I mean, maybe even 25. I don't know, but I just don't see that impactful of a bat. And maybe he's 250 hitter. 10 home runs, maybe. I don't know. That might even be high. I just don't see that impactful of a bat. So maybe I could be wrong. Again, like we both said, he's still only 20. He could turn it around. But I don't know. The profile, like I said, again, look more at the profile than the age. I mean, granted, it'd be better that he's 20 than, you know, 23 at this point, but gives him more time to turn it around. But looking at the profile, I don't know. I think he could be okay and maybe be a guy that's still a top 200 prospect, you know, moving forward, but he's definitely trending down. And he got up to like a, I think he kind of peaked at like 125-ish in my rankings, and now he's been kind of slowly trending down this year. I think he's around 175, if I remember right, in my last update of a handful of days ago. So definitely trending down, as are all these guys here in this last section. But it's been a fun minor league season so far. A lot of names breaking out. That's why I love that the first month of the season, you see, you know, some of the things we didn't know about, some improvements that people made, some changes, maybe a swing change or whatever it may be, different mechanics, you know, adding a pitch or whatever, adding bulk. Like you can see a little bit of that in the offseason and maybe in spring training. But this first month of the season, that's why it's like got to be on, especially in dynasty leagues, you got to be on the ball here to get some of these guys early and that churn and burn on the back end of your prospect kind of roster in dynasty leagues. Get some of these names. It's a fun month, a lot of movement in this first month especially. So it was fun to kind of go over these guys and kind of discuss about where we're ranking them. It's been a fun two episodes, but that will wrap us up here for our first. We'll do these probably monthly, I'm sure, throughout the season, but our first kind of prospect risers and fallers episodes of the 2023 season. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out both of our platforms, my Patreon and Chris's Substack, for more work from each of us, including our rankings. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.